Welcome to the Duspoir Podcast. Very important question for you straight off the bat. Let me ask you, have you ever been alone too much? Have you ever prayed for that human touch? Have you ever prayed that Duran Duran and Iron Maiden got together and made sweet, beautiful love and made a sweet, beautiful metal synth baby? Then prog rock Australian band Voyager are for you. That's right, the Australian band that, let's say it, let's cut to the chase, they single-handedly saved semi-final 2 at Eurovision 2023 from being an absolute snorefest. They brought it home. They brought the semi-final to win. Australian band Voyager. We're very lucky here at the Duspoir Podcast. We were actually able to capture one of the band members like a little Pokemon on our phone, Alex Canyon, bass guitarist. You may know him from Voyager. Here's this one. Does that bring you back to Eurovision 2023? It's like he's in the room. Get ready as we have a chat to, I'm just going to say it, one of the nicest, I know it's such a cliche, everyone says this, but oh my God, you're going to listen to this chat and be like, he is just the sweetest little cupcake in the world. And isn't that always the way with the roughy, toughy metal guys? So please strap yourself in. Unfortunately, the phone audio quality at sometimes isn't best, but I do believe the content is 100% worth this. We also have a transcript of the interview, but please sit back and prepare to get that human touch with Mr. Alex Canyon. Well, can I say, first of all, welcome to the Duspoir Podcast.
Thank you very much. And you know, like, I feel honored to be here, and I feel actually worthy, given that we got two sets of Duplin in Eurovision itself. I feel like I meet the criteria, surely.
Oh, no. The first thing I want to say is I think all of Australia would like to get down, and not just Australia, I think all of Europe wants to get down on bended knee, and we want to thank Voyager for personally saving semi-final 2 at Eurovision.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Can I say it was one of the driest semifinals we have had in a while? You know, we like to sit down and, you know, we play our shot games as every good Australian is doing.
Oh, wow.
And we found that, like, we were, like, having to add in reasons to do shots because it was a bit hard going. And then Voyager arrives and you dropped the party.
Amazing. How many shots did you have during Promise?
You know what? You know it was successful because we lost count.
Oh, that's good. We lost consciousness.
Although that being said, we only have one complaint. You know, there's always got to be someone who has one complaint.
Yeah, fair enough.
What happened? Where were the pyrotechnics?
Okay. So that was... We had to save that for the back pocket because we needed something for the grand final if we were to go through. So we were hoping that we'd get through so we could show off the pyros. But, the fire and stuff like that. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Do you know how expensive that stuff is?
Well, yeah. Are you saying you guys have to pay for it out of your pocket?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So it's all very expensive. I mean, the thing is, there are really interesting considerations to take into account, right, when we're doing something like Eurovision. Because I would think as well, like, my natural inclination would be throw everything except the kitchen sink at it, right?
Yeah.
But because it's being televised and we're actually playing to the TV audiences, and you get such little amount of time to craft the edit and the way it looks on TV, we basically, it's kind of like if you do more things than are necessary, it actually takes away from the performance itself.
The only question I have, though, it's Eurovision. Can you ever really have too much at Eurovision?
Well, you know what? We were actually told you could. We have to defer to the experts and some of this. They're like, you know, even our outfits and stuff, like, thankfully they worked, but, you know, there was definitely a concern where it's like, okay, we've got a moving backdrop, we've got a car. Are these outfits going to blend in with the colour of the LEDs on the floor? And then you need to consider the lights going on as well.
Oh.
And the camera shots, what's actually going to be seen.
Absolutely. Yes. So many performers have the problem of, you know, they're wearing black outfits against a black screen. It's terrible. If anything, I think you guys could have gone a step further and had, you know, light up LED pants. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you know, it's still not too late. We can see, if you know where to find them, can you send me the link? is there like a wish link you can send me?
Absolutely. And you know what? If I have to start a Kickstarter to personally fund LED light-up pants for Voyager's next attempt at Eurovision, I am 100% there.
Okay. Well, deal. Yeah. If you can make it happen, I'll wear them. As long as, you know, the battery acid doesn't leak on the inside of my legs or something like that when I'm trying to perform.
Oh, come on. This is for your country. Surely you're going to take one for your country.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Well, now, Sam, this is the other question. Now that you've had, you know, that little taste of the Eurovision stage.
I just visualized you just kind of like a mouse with cheese. Is that what you did?
100%.
Okay, nice. Sorry to interrupt.
No, the question is, do you have the taste for it? Is there a chance that we can get Voyager back for Australia? You better represent Australia with that at Eurovision again, Dave.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I would. Yeah, for sure. But I don't think we should. I think it's such an amazing and kind of life-changing experience. I kind of feel that it would be unfair to take that away from someone else. Let someone else have their go, you know. We shouldn't. Sometimes you can have too much of a good thing, and I feel like everything was just so perfect for us this year. It couldn't have gone any better. And
you could have won. That could have been better.
Even, you know, I don't even know, like, ninth is amazing. Like, to be even in, like, we went in there with the mindset of we've already won. Like, as a band, we've been doing this for so long. This is such an incredible exposure experience for us that it's all gravy, whatever else happens. And then, you know, all the other things just started to fall into place. I don't know. I don't know if we could, what's it called, chucking a Lorraine? I don't know if we could chuck a Lorraine and do it a second time. It doesn't feel fair, and it might take away from the beauty of this one
perfect moment. This was your M&M one shot, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and, you know, I think I don't think we missed our chance to go. Is that what the line is?
Yeah. Well, see, that was going to be my other question. Of course, before 2023, you attempted with Australia Decides in 2022. Let's just say Australia wanted you to go, but because of the damn juries, you were denied. There had to be a moment of sweet, I guess. Did you have a little bit of a, ha-ha, take that, when Europe responded to you so well?
Yeah, I mean, actually, like, in hindsight, I feel relieved that we came second, because we wouldn't have been able to put on the campaign that we did, you know, off, like, reacting to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were everything lined up perfectly for Voyager. You know, we used, like, Eurovision as the perfect kind of, like, album campaign.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you kind of need to think of it like as well, when you take the emotion out of like, I need to be first, you know, it needs to be first. It's mm-hmm. like, let's enjoy everything that Eurovision has to offer. There's so much beauty to it, and, you know, to kind of maybe mar it with just intense competition and anxiety would have been a real shame.
I like it. That feels like that's such an Aussie approach to Eurovision as well.
I think it is, to be fair. Yeah, I think we're kind of just so, we're happy to be involved. We, you know, we know that there's a chance that maybe we shouldn't be, or we might not be. So we're just kind of enjoying participating.
Mm.
So, you know, I feel like Australia has shown that we can hang with the best of them. You know.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was going to say that was the other bit of pressure, I think, going into this, because you guys were actually the last year that we're formally, you know, the invitation, it ends with this year, with this performance. So I know that there were a lot of Eurovision Australian fans who were kind of worried, going, oh, is this going to be enough? Are we going to get our, like, contract renewed? Will we be coming back? Hands down, you guys were the absolute correct choice to make. I think there's no way Europe can't invite us back.
Oh, thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah, I appreciate that. I see it. It's kind of like we needed to convince a few people, but once we kind of did that Madrid pre-party, I mean, even people there, like, I felt that we weren't really taken too seriously, because we're just, you know, friendly Aussies. We just love chatting with people, and we're kind of like, oh, they're a metal band, you know, whatever. We come off the stage in Madrid, and then everyone's kind of attitude shifted a little bit. You know, they're like, oh, shit, they're in designer clothes, they're on stage moves, they're like... Yeah, they're slaying the stage.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing is, have you been onto YouTube to check out your live performances, check out all the comments below, the feedback from your performance?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do enjoy reading them. Yeah, yeah. Because I don't, like, it doesn't bother me, even if there were negative ones, which there are, like, 1% of, and, like, negative or a bit bitchy, I really, like, enjoy reading them, I guess, as, like, for constructive criticism. But the overwhelming love and support is just heartwarming. That's almost the takeaway of Eurovision for me. It's that we were backed. I felt fully backed by our country, and that's so special.
Oh, absolutely. Can I say, now, this is going to strange, and let me get this whole sentence out before you react. Watching you guys at Eurovision, when you came out that first time, I actually got a bit of a tingle of nationalistic pride, which I haven't had since we first sent Guy Sebastian. I'm not into soccer, I'm not into, like, sports, so I don't normally go, yes, I'm Australian, this is brilliant. I actually had one of those moments where I'm like, yes, this is us.
That's really sweet. That warms my heart, Elizabeth. Yeah. And I, you're not actually the first person I've heard say that, which just freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm exactly the same. Like, I'm kind of like first generation Australian. My parents both immigrated here when they were young,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not really a sports fan. You know.
Yeah.
I don't barrack for any team. I've never really cared. I've just been so into music.
Yeah.
And then to like go from just doing what we've always done to then representing our country, doing what we've always done. It was, I don't know. It's almost like the pressure is so insane that it's discounted because of its enormity.
Yeah.
So having people say that they saw us and felt like national pride for the first time is just, man, it's just awe-inspiring to me. Because, yeah, I seldom feel that myself, but, you know, I felt there. I was like, yeah, I'm proud that we're representing our beautiful country of Australia. There's just, No one else like it.
Yeah, I think we're not a country that's sort of, you know, normally, you know, that way sort of inclined. And it was kind of like, oh, I'm feeling something. I'm feeling a warm tingle in my heart. I'm not, what is this?
It's making me feel things.
Yeah, I know. I'm not prepared. Repress it.
Repress.
Now, the other thing that we have, so obviously you finished Eurovision, you went on a completely sold out, amazing tour of Australia. Thank you for that. I actually came and saw you guys in Adelaide. It was fantastic.
That was a good show. Yeah. Thanks for coming.
No, thanks for playing for us. My favourite bit was where you tried to get the Adelaide crowd to liven up, and I love it because we're from Adelaide and that's just kind of not what we do generally. You've got to remember, we are the serial killer capital of Australia. So it's kind of like at every moment we've got to be, you know, prepared in case one strikes. We've got to keep our guard up. But
oh, wow. Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. I guess that's a normal, healthy consideration.
Yeah, but I appreciate the effort. Now, the other thing we've got to talk about. Now, you guys, you're not resting on your laurels. Again, Voyager, I mean, you have been going for about 24 years, the band has been going. But it kind of feels like, and you've been, 15 years?
Yeah, I joined in 2007. Yeah, at the end of 2007.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So Simone is the second longest tenured member of the band after Danny. So she joined in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
I joined in 2007, and then I think Scott joined in 2010 or 2011.
Yep.
And then Ash in 2012.
Well, I think you have the perfect mix right now. I've got to say, like, two of my favourite bands are Duran Duran and Iron Maiden, and it's really hard to find those loves coming together. And I think I found that with Voyager.
Amazing. Yeah.
Now, what we will say is, because we do have a lot of our fan base are in Europe, and we just want to let them know you were doing a proper old school rock and roll tour across Europe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's pretty normal in our world to just do a shitload of shows back to back in Europe. But yeah. I mean, anything seems old school when it's not being broadcast to all of Europe at one time, I guess.
When you're not doing like a Taylor Swift, but this is proper old school. Like, you were going from October 1 to October 25, and you're pretty much almost playing every night, and a lot of the times in different countries.
Yeah, yeah. It's wild, isn't it? As an Australian, it's kind of hard to process. We'll finish one show and then we'll go on the bus and then chill out for a bit, go to sleep, and then wake up at the venue in another country. It's crazy.
It's absolutely, and I absolutely, like, take my hat off to it. So it's amazing. So anyone out there, you're going everywhere, Germany, Poland, Czech Republic, Belgium, Netherlands, then back to the UK, let them live it all again, and you're even going to Glasgow. Don't get in a fight. Those people from Glasgow will mess you up.
I know. Well, you know, this will be nice because we've played Glasgow twice before at a tiny little bar underneath the Glasgow train station.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we go for a haggis supper beforehand.
Oh,
well.
No.
You know, Simone was born in Falkirk, which is not far from Glasgow, so she keeps it safe. She'll give anyone a Glasgow kid.
That's what you need. That's what you need in every bandmate, someone to also be security.
Yeah, yeah, violence.
Oh, that is fantastic. And Lally, we don't want to keep you. We want to keep you too long, but let me just ask you, what's your favourite song on the new album?
Oh, my goodness. I think maybe Gren, the final song.
Ooh!
Gren, Fearless in Love. I'm really interested to see what the Eurovision contingent will think of this album, because it's quintessentially Voyager. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like when we played these live shows, we really felt the Eurovision presence, which was so lovely. And, you know, they've really embraced our sound. And but part of me thinks that, like, I'm glad that we haven't abandoned who we are as a band, you know? We're like,
yeah, completely.
I feel like we owe it to ourselves and everyone to just be genuine. So this album was kind of written before our major Eurovision journey. So what you're hearing is essentially us distilled. So the album will have both Promise and Dreamer on it, which is really special. But the rest of the songs will be heavy and very catchy. But I think more than that, just powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't, like, be heaviness or metal, you know, be that as it may, that just means that it's got power behind it. And that's what I really hope people will feel when they listen to the other tracks that they haven't heard from this album. It's just emotion, power, and uplifting melancholy, as Danny likes to say.
Oh, I like that. I like that. That's very good. And that's from what I saw from your live show as well. It's really, it was that beautiful blend that is Eurovision, like looking around at the audience. There was this beautiful mixture of, you know, obvious, you know, new fans who have come from Eurovision. And then you've got like older, you've got like metal heads who've been with you from before. And then there was someone with a homemade papier-mâché guitar. So it was a beautiful mixture. Yeah.
It's so amazing. And, you know, like, I guess to everyone listening, like, who's a Eurovision fan that's kind of supported us, I'd just like to say thank you. I mean, the Eurovision community is not one that I ever anticipated that I would be tied to for the rest of my life, but I'm so glad that I am. And I'm so glad that Voyagers of Mars had this experience, because it's really just kind of opened up a new world to us that I kind of assumed that only really heavy music fans would be able to give, because I've always known them to be so into music,
into the
minutia of it. But Eurovision is like that again. It's just a different shade, and I'm so privileged and honored to have this new kind of Eurovision family and this new kind of a new lease on musical life. Something else to consider and have attached to the legacy of the band. It's just so special.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? From Eurovision to you, we're so happy that we could bring this to you. And you know what? I'm going to let it rest for now, but I want that worm to start tingling in the back of your ear, because I'm always going to have that dream that Voyager's Voyage is going to lead you back to that Eurovision stage.
I would love, you know what, I would love for it to lead us back there as a guest, like a special opening, a guest in one of the halftime shows or whatever the interlude fits. But I, you know, part of me also really, I hope that we can kind of cash in our Eurovision 2023 meal ticket kind of year after year, you know, go to all the year parties around Australia when the time of year comes and, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Part of it.
Once your ticket is stamped on that train, you will never be able to get off it, even if you try.
Okay, all right. It's a warning for later down the track, and I'm like, no more Eurovision stuff.
No, you say that now, but yeah, 5 years from now, there'll still be people just like walking past you, just like, take Voyager back to Eurovision.
I'll take it. If anyone, this is what I don't get with like some of the other artists, they were closed off to interviews and closed off to people talking to them about it. It's like, man, if you spent the amount of time that we have, like literally hitting the road around the world trying to get people to be interested in your band, like this is just such a blessing to have people that want to see you perform and do what you do best. That's a privilege that not many people get. So. We'll always take that and take it with a smile.
Oh, we love it. You're so Australian. We love it. We're going to put we'll put all the links up so people can check out the album, check out all of Voyager's stuff. You've even got your own single stuff as well. Birthmark and Sorrowtar. We'll put a link into that as well. So,
Thank you.
It was a little more Smashing Pumpkins and Nine Inch Nails than I was expected.
Thank you. Yeah, you can kind of on my website
It's alexperman.com if you're interested. I've got a discography link, and you can kind of see everything that I've been a part of. It's normally quite dark, you know, like I listen to a lot of dark music, but it's, I think it's still very listenable.
Absolutely. Actually, as I found out from your website, it's dark, it's Smashing Pumpkins with a few ads for chicken palmies in between.
I know, right? What is my career? I'm just hustling constantly. Yeah, chicken treat ads, voiceovers, depressive adult-oriented rock. What else?
And Eurovision. Hey, you call it hustling. Other people call it living the dream.
Living the dream. Let's go with that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and thank you. You've made Australia proud.
Oh, I appreciate it, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone listening.
Thank you. Thanks for the interview. Bye.
Have fun. See you. Bye.
See, I wasn't kidding. Just how lovely was he? I have a feeling, in the end, you can only get one member of Voyager on the phone at the time, because if you talk to all of them, you might explode from the loveliness. Anyway, check our site. We're going to put some links up with some dates to their European tour. So they're now headed overseas. Everyone in Europe, come check them out. They're going everywhere from Germany to the UK, Scotland. Check them out. We'll also put some links up. Their new album is available right now, Fearless in Love. Get a little Aussie goodness in your life.